apparently I'm supposed to shut my fucking whore mouth, but you know me, yeah. I don't do that. So I'm just going to start by saying,
shut your fucking whore mouth.
No, I want my whore mouth open, wedding for a dick.
Have you ever watched Always Sunny?
Oh yeah. It's been a while.
I love it when Danny DeVito just starts going, "Your mother's a dirty, rotten whore." The way he says whore, it's just so fucking funny.
That's true.
God, I love Danny DeVito so much. That guy is so fucking funny.
Oh, he really is though.
I'd love to meet him, although he's like 80 years old now.
I know, but it's still be cool. I feel like he's such one of those guys that's actually really cool, especially for being a comedian, because a lot of comedians can be kind of dickish, but...
Yeah, true. And I mean, he's not really a comedian. He's more just... He's just an actor.
Well, I guess, yeah, he is more... Yeah. But he's a comedic actor. True, most of his roles are comedic roles.
Like, it's just it's amazing. You know, you don't think about this, but, you know, he's like 4'11", I think, or 4'10".
Yeah, he's pretty short. Yeah.
So, and you, like... That person having such a giant atmosphere around him, I'm sure if we met him, he'd be like 100 feet tall, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of like
crazy.
Like, I love that he's Phil Atides in the Disney Hercules movie. Yeah. But like, yeah, that role just always, like, that's just him.
Yep. Yep.
Like, not a satyr, obviously, but that's just him.
That's just him. All right, well, guys, welcome back. Sorry about a little tangent. We love Danny DeVito.
We do.
This week we're doing another hot take.
Conversations about gaming. So we're talking about obscure games and controversial takes.
Yeah. We'll call them hot take episodes.
Okay. Sounds good.
Hot takes.
You liked last week's episode.
Which was something, which I'm not going to remember because this is not a regular episode. So fuck last week's episode.
Yay!
It had all of, like, I think I checked before we got on. It had all of like 2 downloads. So I don't think
I was Stray Gods, I'm pretty sure. So that doesn't surprise me. That was not a popular game.
No. And
we're doing pretty much
good.
All popular games for the next like 10 to 15 games now. So we better get some
listeners. Okay, guys. So you'll love that. So this week we are discussing two things. A, controversial views, things that might not be super popular in gaming, but we have them, and games kind of that are pushed to the wayside, kind of deal,
like obscure titles that we really love but that aren't in the mainstream.
And people may have heard of them but may have never touched them, or you might not have heard of them at all because a shit ton of games get released and a lot of them go by the wayside. And
Especially
EA then releases
kind of like
one
games,
shitty game every. EA releases one shitty game every fucking year, and that for some reason that
Only
game
one?
Gets all the publicity, even though it's a shit fucking game.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, I heard that Dragon Age is dead.
Yeah, pretty much.
The devs have like said there's the lead developer literally went online and said goodbye in Elvish. Which makes me think, like, it's super dead. Like, they don't do that shit for no reason.
Yeah.
So, and then I just read that they were starting Mass Effect, but BioWare can't get it done. Mass Effect 5. Because EA has literally the BioWare team spread between, like, 15 games.
Yeah.
So, they haven't even started the fucking game yet. And its initial release date is now pushed to 2030.
Oh, damn.
Yep. Crazy. And I'm like, you are being really brave, EA, thinking you're going to be around in 2030.
I mean, I doubt that they'll be gone by then, but...
Dude, you never know. They are releasing shit.
I mean, you never know, but they also a lot of these big companies are almost, like, too big to fail. Like, someone will come in and swoop them up. Someone will buy them out or save them in some capacity.
Bethesda.
Yeah.
But let's start with our hot take on games. What games have you played that you really liked but no one else has ever fucking heard of?
I'll start out with a really interesting one for me. Actually, this one is called Dark Watch. This one, I'm trying to remember. I had this pulled up. Sorry. Dark
it's
Watch.
Like, I don't know the game. I've never actually played it, but here's Dark Watch.
No, I actually, I own this. I've played it. It's called Dark Watch Curse of the West. I wanted to get the name of the title and then the year it came out. It came out in 2005 on PlayStation 2 and original Xbox.
Gross.
This game, it takes place in the late 1800s, and it's a like vampire Western. It's It came out around the same time as Van Helsing, and it's very much Van Helsing, but your name's like Chris Jericho instead of obviously Van Helsing, but you become a vampire. You're an outlaw who is robbing a train. You unleash a vampire named Lazarus that makes all dead appear all over the West, and you have to go to stop Lazarus now, but you're now a vampire.
Interesting.
It's so random. It's not the greatest of games. It's pretty short, but to the same extent, like, it's something that I really loved playing back in the day, and especially around the time that Van Helsing came out, I was so obsessed with like vampires and gunslinging and anything like Western and stuff like that was just so cool. So I just really love this game. It's very out there, but it's really cool.
All right. Interesting. Never heard of it before, clearly. I'll raise
Capcom
you one.
And Ubisoft game.
Nice. I'll raise you one.
What's that?
Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines.
Oh.
So this game. Yeah. So what's interesting about this game is it's technically popular.
It's like cult following popular now, right?
Yeah, but it's not like. I think nowadays people have probably heard of it if they have heard of it, but have never seen it or played it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A tabletop RPG before a video game, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Tabletop RPG before a video game. The game's actually really fucking fun. We played it in the last iteration of our podcast, and that game is like incredibly fun. And I was pushing Steven for a long time to be like, we need to play this fucking game. Like, it's insane. Like, it's crazy. It's a fucking. It's got a cool RPG system. It's a little like hard towards the end of the game, I will say.
That's true.
I remember having to use cheat codes at the end of the game just to not die every 2 seconds.
That's fair.
but I'm sure like when you learn actual like the combat system a little bit better, it gets easier. It's like Morrowind where you like you can fucking break the game with just stats, you know?
True.
But
true.
The game is intense. Like it is crazy good. It's got some weird fucking like storylines. It's a crazy you could literally play this game for 2 minutes and everyone could be against you. You literally could be on the street and everyone just try to kill you at any single moment.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. It is a crazy fucking game.
It was definitely very like interesting to go through, and of RPGs, like especially like large scale RPGs. Which I mean, a lot of newer PCs you need a mod to play it. I will say that.
A lot of games you need mods to play it now. Like
that's pretty much true.
Like I remember the Dragon Age. I think I just talked about this. I had to download a mod to up it from because they limit it to 2 gigabytes of refresh rate for the graphics card. But like ideally, you want it at least 4 for newer PCs because they're so much fucking faster.
Fair.
So it's just. Old games need to get modded, otherwise you cannot play. You will fucking crash all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it definitely was like an interesting game, and there's not many games, like especially good like vampire games. There's hardly any, and it's kind of funny that we both bring up a vampire game for our first game.
Yeah, because honestly, like for me, this game was like everything I would have wanted in a game. The only thing I want more is for them to remake it.
Dude, seriously, like there's so many games like this one, and I know there's like a Vampire Masquerade or something that came out a few years back, and I know it did not do very well review-wise.
Did it come out? I was actually wondering if it did, because I remember hearing it was going to, but then I don't know if it ever did.
I think it did. Pretty sure.
Like Bloodlines 2, right?
Well, I don't know if Bloodlines 2 came out, but there was like a Bloodline, or there was something that came out like a couple years back, I thought.
Oh, then I don't know. I was thinking Bloodlines 2. It looks like Bloodlines 2 is now, because it was slated for release, remember, around the time we did that episode, which was well over a year ago. But now it's slated for 2025. So it's going to get pushed back more, but it's going to be 2027.
Probably
it's just these games, like it sucks because a lot of these cool games that we really like, they're just dead, they're gone, and if the people decide they want to remaster them, someone has to buy the IP in order for that to happen. It's just not gonna happen.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like I just watched a video on how Banjo-Kazooie is dead. So, yeah. So yeah, Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie are the only two games that Rare ever released for the Banjo series, right?
Well, there was Nuts and Bolts.
I don't know what Nuts and Bolts is. Is that three?
It's the third one of the series. It was one that Microsoft Studios did, I think.
Okay, yeah. So it's not by Rare.
No,
and
I don't think it is.
Rare only released the two. So people really, that's probably why this guy didn't count it as a real Banjo game.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I'm guessing everyone hated Nuts and Bolts.
It was pretty universally hated.
yeah. So Rare never followed up on this. And like Rare still has the IP, and you could like argue that who did the Spyro remake?
Toys for Bob.
Toys for Bob, like toys, a company like Toys for Bob could go in and buy the IP and remake the game, but there's so little love for these old games anymore that nobody's going to do that.
Yeah.
You have to be really a popular IP for someone to want to fucking buy it, because that's really expensive too. Like Toys for Bob probably spent a shit ton of money on that, you know?
Oh, I'm sure they did.
And hopefully they made it back, but odds are they didn't, because like remake games do not make a lot of money unless they're really fucking good.
Like Resident Evil 2 and 4.
Yeah. Well, those are so different. And they were remade by Square Enix, right?
Yeah.
Or Square Enix paid a company to remake them for them. So it's just that idea. I don't know. All right. Well, let's go on to the next game.
Yeah. So actually, I have another gunslinging game.
Oh, I thought you were going to say another vampire game.
No, this one's not a vampire. This is an undercover DEA agent doing a drug smuggling ring in Mexico. It's called Total Overdose, A Gunslinger's Tale in Mexico. This is basically Max Payne meets Machete. Or not Machete. Max Payne meets... Not Machete. Oh, what was I thinking? The Mariachi movies. It's very over the top Spanish culture. The music is so amazing. The gunplay is really fun. The story and graphics are absolutely terrible. It is dog shit. But god damn it, is the gunplay like so much fun, because it's very much Max Payne bullet time style. But you also get these like special like moves and stuff. Like I remember at one point that you have these like guitar cases that are machine guns, and you can just like do a tornado attack, and you can like spin around in circles and bah!
Oh, that's cool.
Have you ever watched Trigun? So fun. Never watched it. No,
Trigun's an awesome anime, and it's based on a manga that I've never read, but maybe I jump into it at some point. But I know the anime is a little bit different from the manga. But essentially, there's a dude who has a giant fucking like this huge gun that's basically a cross.
Oh, okay.
So it looks like he's a preacher, but then the cross turns out just to be this giant fucking gun.
Nice.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Well, I mean, the Mariachi movies, they didn't start out with Antonio Banderas, but he took over for the second and third movie. But in those movies, he's a mariachi that always carries his guns in a guitar case. And so he'll show up to play the guitar, and like he does actually have a guitar, and he actually is a mariachi singer and player. So he's actually really incredible at that. But then also like he'll like do a performance and then kill everybody in the room. It's so over the top, but it's so cool.
Death.
It's like I love
music.
It's Robert Rodriguez did those movies. He also did Machete. He also did a lot of like
Machete.
Spy Kids, a couple things like
is
that.
Machete,
so,
is that
Danny
oh, what's
Trejo.
His name? Yeah, Trejo. Yeah. That guy's cool. Yeah. I love that guy.
Which he's in the Mariachi series as well.
Nice. It's,
the main three people in that is Antonio Banderas, Sandra Bullock, and Danny Trejo.
Like I was not expecting three. You to say Sandra Bullock.
Not Sandra Bullock. God damn it. Why did I say Sandra Bullock? Oh my God. That is not even close. Oh my God. That
say,
is
there's
awful.
Literally no way the person you're
Holy
thinking of is
Sandra
shit. Bullock.
Why did I say Sandra? I don't know why I was saying Sandra.
Hot take.
That was the Selma Hayek.
Selma
Hayek.
That makes a lot more sense. That makes a lot more sense.
I'm so sorry to both Sandra Bullock and Selma Hayek, because you guys are not even close to the same person in the slightest.
Like, Selma Hayek,
I love
is
you both.
So much fucking hotter. Like,
oh, Selma
so
Hayek, way
much.
Hotter.
Oh my God.
Selma Hayek is my like.
She doesn't look like she's
Latina
had 50
love.
Million plastic surgeries since her 20s, you know, and she still
That's
looks gorgeous.
Fair. Dude, she will always look gorgeous.
God, she's
I don't know
so,
how she
God.
Does it, but she's
so
phenomenal.
Yeah. All right, but my next game, you might have played it. Okay. Some of you might have. It's from a famous series, but it's one of the games in the series that's not super popular. It's Sims. Okay. Herbs, Sims in the City.
No, I never played this.
So this was an exclusive for console Sims game.
I think I remember that, yeah.
This is, I know GameCube had it for sure, because that's what I had it on, but I think Xbox might have also had it, and PlayStation then probably had it too, because I think they were trying to like expand out of the PC realm, because they knew most people, you know, if you're a kid and you're gaming, you likely own a console of some kind.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they were trying to expand out. And I don't think this game got nearly enough love, because this game was fucking awesome when I was a kid. I had so much fun. Like, this is my first like venture into The Sims. You got to like customize your house. And as a poor kid, like when you're poor, you love games like this.
Oh, because
you're like, oh, I could never afford that. Yep. I could never afford that. That's fucking sweet. I'm putting that in there. I could never afford that. So it's like, it's one of those games that when you're poor, it's so much fucking more fun to play.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it didn't have like amazing shit. It's not a groundbreaker game, but it's more like it was like teenagers essentially living together, and not like a mom and a dad and a baby and all that shit.
So it's less house and more like just like suburban.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it was so much fucking fun, guys, back in the day.
Okay.
That was the shit. And I would give I don't know if I'd pay big money to get it again. I don't even know if it's worth that much, honestly. It's probably still, because it's a fucking GameCube game. It's probably worth over $80, because everything on GameCube for some reason costs $1 million fucking.
But fair.
If you're going to play it, don't buy it. You know, do the other thing that I'm not allowed to say, because Nintendo gets mad at me.
I mean, one of the things I've been doing recently is like that really awesome website where they try to preserve a lot of games, and you get to own all the archive. License for GOG. GOG actually had like Total Overdose. They just added recently. Oh, so nice. I actually bought it again. It was only like $7 or $10 or something like that. I was like, it's totally worth it for $10 for me to play through that again. Like, I don't give a fuck how bad it is. I'm so excited to play that again.
All right. You got another game?
Yeah.
Hot take.
So this one was one of my first real-time strategy games. This is called Populous: The Beginning. This one originated, the series started out, I think, on Super Nintendo. And then it ended up getting a PC game that was basically it was a PC game, and it was I think it was a prequel to like the Populous game, because this was the beginning. But this one is about like a, I want to say almost like Native American culture kind of style. And it had to deal with shamans and gods or goddesses. Like your shaman leader would have all these mystical witch powers, and you would take over other factions or other groups. And like, you could create your own cities, and like, you could have monks that convert their siblings into like your tribe members, or you could have like spies that would go and like start fires in their houses in other people's towns.
This game sounds like Scientology.
You could also just have warriors, and you could have like firebenders. You could have like all these different like things.
Okay, now
and
it's sounding less like Scientology.
Yeah.
you gotta expand like, on the universe a little bit more.
The progress of the game, it actually had a story mode. And the progress of the game, after doing all these different challenges and stuff, your shaman became a god at the end of the game.
This
and
then sounds like Scientology.
Like, one of the coolest spells you get to learn, and you don't get to learn it until like very end of the game, it's just called Armageddon. And what it is no matter where you're at, no matter what's happening in the game, it creates an arena in the middle of the field, and everyone's entire army, entire villagers, entire everything, all gets transported to this center island, and it's just an all-out free-for-all till the bitter end of who survives. And it's the coolest fucking spell I've ever seen in a game, just because it's like, all right, this game ends now. Let's see what happens.
People I've built
so
up
you just
so
build
much.
Up your army as fast as possible, and then all of a sudden you hit that Armageddon spell, and then you just watch this massive battle happen. And it was so cool.
That's cool. That's nice. Is it like an RTS style game?
Yeah, it definitely is, yeah.
Okay. Nice. I like it.
Yeah, but it's not like turn-based like Civ. It's more like Age of Empires, kind of that style.
Yeah. It's like normal RTS.
Yeah, more normal RTS.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. What about you? I'm gonna come at you with something a little bit
like a Spider-Man.
Again, it's part of a popular series, but is not a popular game in the series. In fact, the series
that's
itself
like your favorite
is
genres.
Yeah, well, it's like it's a popular series, kind of like Asterix.
Okay.
People have played it, but I guarantee it's less than we think.
All right,
the Yu-Gi-Oh series.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
you know what I mean. Like the Yu-Gi-Oh series is not the most. Not everyone has touched a Yu-Gi-Oh game in their life.
I mean, a lot of the anime-inspired game series, like anime-inspired games, a lot of those aren't very popular. There's very few that are really, really incredible.
I'm gonna go back to 2001, and we're gonna talk about Yu-Gi-Oh: The Sacred Cards.
The other one we played for the old edition of
the podcast. Steven to play this one because he had no idea this game existed, and most people don't. This game is really interesting. Where it doesn't even follow the basic structure of the Yu-Gi-Oh card game.
That's the weirdest thing about it.
Yeah, it loosely follows the story of the Yu-Gi-Oh card game, but it's more inspired by the manga and less inspired by the actual like card game itself.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such a fun game to get into. It's got some like very charmful things about it. Like when you can build your decks and you can match them with like unique things, like it makes you level up your card deck power. So if you like, you have to constantly duel to level up this power. And if you want to be like the best duelist, you want to get the best deck, but you have to have a high deck level. And to do that, you have to duel a lot of fucking people.
Yeah.
I read somewhere online, like there's forums of people who played this game and there's like three people in the forum, which is really funny.
That's fair.
But they're how could this game go by the wayside? It's so fucking good.
It really was good. Like, I do have to admit that, like, as much as you forced me into it.
The
deck building is really fun. Any sort of game that has really good deck building, I am all for.
Yeah, honestly, there's so much to this game. Like, they tried really hard, but I'm sure that they only took, like, a week to make the fucking game itself, so...
The worst part about the game for me is just that it is grindy. Like,
it is
you have
very
to grind
grindy.
Quite a bit.
A lot.
Like, that's the only downfall of that game for me. Otherwise, like, that would be another one that would be a really good one to remake and just, like, balance it better and not
they
have as much
grind.
They
would never remake that one.
I know.
No
they
fucking
wouldn't.
Way.
But if they did something like that, I'd be down.
And that,
I'd be down.
I'm not saying what these are for mostly, but that's for the Game Boy Advance.
Yes, yes, yes.
I actually have a physical copy of it.
Yeah. I don't.
Mm-hmm. I play it often, honestly. Every once in a while when I'm bored. Jump on there, jump in my fucking 10,000 combat power deck. And...
Damn.
Because I've put 160 hours into that fucking game and I'm not going to put
Easy.
It down.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. Do we want to do one or two more of these or do you want to go to the next topic?
Let's do one or two more.
All right. So I'm going to go kind of on along the lines that you've been going with popular franchise, but more of an obscure title of the series.
Yeah.
Maybe
something that
not
got,
as much, but
something
I'm going to
go buried.
I'm going to go with 007 Agent Under Fire.
Oh, I totally thought you were going to say Nightfire.
I almost did, but, I remembered Agent Under Fire for one specific reason. I love the multiplayer way more.
Okay.
Nightfire was probably my favorite.
I love Nightfire too much. The multiplayer is even amazing in it.
Nightfire is amazing. But I remembered in Agent Under Fire, me and my friends at the time, we would go into the multiplayer. We would get everyone the Q Claw, which was this phone attachment where it was a grappling hook that you could launch yourself and Spider-Man yourself across the map. The fucking funnest thing ever. And I think it's only in Agent Under Fire.
No, you can do it in Nightfire.
Oh, was it Nightfire too? Okay, then never mind. I'm bringing up Nightfire.
Nightfire has grappling hooks, so you can only grapple onto the hooks.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So Agent Under Fire, you could do it anywhere. Nightfire was specific locations?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, I was thinking of Agent Under Fire then. So we would do Q-Claws and Golden Guns and just Spider-Man across the maps and just one-shot kills. And it was the fucking funny. And we put the speed on like 300% or something like that.
Oh, nice.
So we would do like the most batshit crazy shit in that game. Or we would each get like a handful of trip mines and place them all over the map and put the speed at 300% and just see who could survive going through like these minefields of lasers. So we would just do the most crazy bonkers shit. And that's something I miss in a lot of games. It's just how much people would change the multiplayer. Like, I mean, even like Halo, Griffball was created in multiplayer.
Yep.
Like a lot of other these multiplayer games are just created out of nothing. Like,
you
I mean,
think
zombies.
Of, zombies, was, yep. Zombies
yeah,
in Halo.
Yeah. there's so many of these things. I just really miss SWAT. That about a lot of these old games that like people created these game types that became popular and then eventually became game types themselves. But I just really miss that kind of aspect of like multiplayer, of like just sitting on the same screen with all of your friends and just putting out the most ridiculous rules and just seeing what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. One of my buddies, I just mentioned SWAT, but one of my buddies says he and his friends created SWAT. Likely says no. Likely says a bunch of people probably came up with the same idea for battle rifles and no shields, because it's not that unique of an idea.
So, as soon as the Golden Gun was released, everyone in every game series like, what if we did one shot kills?
Like it, but they say like, well, we have a SWAT game saved from this date, and I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't, I don't know,
that doesn't
what
necessarily mean you were the first one to do it.
Yeah, it's they are very insistent that they were the first ones.
I also had a friend and I who said we swore that we created the S'mores Blizzard at Dairy Queen, but we didn't.
Yeah, yeah. Every 100 people, if you had an idea, just know that a million other people had that fucking same idea.
So. There's a reason that scientists say there's no such thing as an original thought anymore.
Yeah,
because it's just not.
Not even close. All right. I like that one. Okay. Let me send you one that I don't think you've probably ever heard of before.
Ooh, I'm
Project Silphide.
No, I don't think I have.
This was one of my favorite flight simulator games.
Oh, interesting.
So it's like a anime inspired flight simulator. You do a lot of cool shit in it. Really, like the coolest thing you do is you're not only fighting like one-on-one battles with other people flying, like other tiny ships. You fight those in addition to like giant fucking destroyer ships and all this shit, and you can destroy them fairly easily. Like it is, it's an interesting game. There's a whole mission where it's literally a space battle between like thousands of ships, and you're just fucking destroying ships left and right. It's a sweet game. It probably fell so deep under the radar. It's not even funny. I don't know what studio made it. I don't know. I know it wasn't re-released. I know it wasn't backwards compatible for any of the other Xboxes. It is an Xbox 360 only game, so you can't even... I tried to emulate it, but the problem with Xbox is their emulation stuff is really fucking hard.
It's bad, yeah.
Yeah, like Sony, because they're so open about their code, they allow everyone to emulate as long as you have your BIOS, which is just you could pull it from your own PlayStation if you wanted to. You could copy and paste it kind of so you can play anything on the computer, but Xbox does not do that. So it's really hard to play Xbox like original games, unfortunately.
No, okay.
But this game was so cool. You could probably find it somewhere for cheap. Again, I cannot imagine it's expensive. It's a 360 game, so you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
a lot of 360 games, unless they were like extremely popular and really obscure and only a few copies left, they're not too expensive.
Yeah, yeah, really. Like, you have to be like super fucking. I remember going to the bargain bin because I picked up Two Worlds and Two Worlds 2, and I think I paid like 30 cents for each.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, because it was
that's
like
crazy.
And that's like in 2015, I think, or 2014, you know? It's not that long ago, 10 years ago. So I assume they'd be like 60 cents each now, you know?
I mean, part of the reason why I was able to collect as many games as I used to collect was because Xbox
bargain
games
bins.
Were so cheap.
Right?
And bargain bins
were great. Yeah, I love those things. I love going to GameStop and they'll just be like, every game in here costs a nickel.
Yep.
Dig through it. They all suck. Good luck.
Yep. This is the dollar bin. What? All these games are a dollar?
That was the best part about Blockbuster closing all its stores is they had huge fucking sale. And we went and just bought out all their fucking games for like a
dollar. Did the same thing with Hastings. Did the same thing with TradeSmart.
Yep. Oh, and Game Crazy, when Game Crazy closed down. That was a great, because they were doing like, buy one game over $60, get four games free, equal or lesser value.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, fuck you guys. Yes, please. And you would just like, you'd buy one $60 game and then get four other $60 games free.
That's exactly how I do those sales every time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Do you got another one or do you want to go to the next topic?
Let me see. I have one more.
Okay. I'll do one more with you. Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
So this is kind of a combo. I really, really love the NBA and NFL Street games. NBA, like it was like V1, V2,
V3. I think you're gonna say
what?
I hope you're gonna say what I think you're gonna say. They're dead now, but they're some of my favorite sports games.
They are some of my favorite sports games of all time. The 3v3 aspect and just
oh
how
no.
ridiculous
so I
they
thought
are.
You were using those to like I love these games and this game is just like them. I thought you were gonna say backyard basketball.
No, that's another fun one, but
I love the backyard games.
The
so
backyard
much.
Games are cool, but I really so love the street good. Games. I just loved how like early 2000s or late 90s they were, whatever it was.
Well,
it
they were
was just
weren't they inspired by 2000s. That dude from fucking New York?
I don't remember.
He was like a great street baller. Then he got drafted into the NBA and fucking blew. And then he's like, I shouldn't play NBA ball.
But I just like remember how like ridiculous the games were, especially like the NBA Street games. Like I think the Beastie Boys were a team that you could unlock in that, and then you
cool.
could play as all the Beastie Boys and like
could play as Mike
the move sets in them. It was all just like street basketball moves. So those like move where it was like dropping dimes and you'd drop backwards and bounce the ball between your legs like from behind, and you could do all these like crazy alley loops. Like you could like alley oop it four times between each other and then have the last person dunk. You could do all these like wall running stuff and then jump off the walls. Like it was the most ridiculous. Like arena style gameplay, and it was only 3v3s, but they were just, it was so much fun. And I miss sports games that didn't take themselves seriously. Like I hate that like all the sports games now are just like it's just Madden and it's just FIFA and we're just gonna drill that shit into the ground forever.
2K NBA 2K or whatever.
Yeah. And I'm just like I miss like the more random ass sports games that just don't exist anymore. And I go back to the
backyard basketball.
Yep.
God, those backyard games were good. I want to try to find those. They were computer games, I think, back in
yeah,
the day.
They were.
I don't think they were on consoles. I think they're probably on Steam, I have to imagine. I got to find them and actually play them. Or I can probably find them online somewhere. I'm sure someone's modded the fuck out of them so they're playable.
Oh, yeah.
All right. My last game. Hold on. I had it on my list.
Backyard baseball and backyard soccer are on Steam.
Nice.
Backyard baseball 97, backyard soccer 98.
Okay. All right. My game.
Yes.
Brute Force.
I don't know if I ever played this one, but I know it's a little bit.
Yes, this is a cool third-person shooter game, like back on the original Xbox. I think it was on GameCube, and I'm almost certain it's on PlayStation 2 if it's on Xbox.
Yeah.
And it was just so good. It's got this cool story. It's basically a squad game you could play with up to four people online, and you're just a squad of these four individuals. One's a giant lizard guy. One's a regular dude. One's a regular girl. And I can't remember the fourth one, but it's been a while since I played it. So it might have been just those three. But it was such a fun fucking game. Like, the gunplay was really fun. The maps were giant. The story was really good. Like, it had a cool multiplayer aspect to it. It was just a game that it was there and then it's gone.
Oh, okay.
Like it's there, you're playing it, and then you forget about it and you never touch it again.
One of those, okay.
Yep. And then I don't know like how popular that game was back then, because I didn't, you know, back in the day they didn't have commercials for games. Like they did, but they didn't, only for the huge games. So you'll miss out on these like little games that people release, like Brute Force. And I don't know. I don't think a lot of people have played that game for sure. I think it's a hidden gem somewhere in the confines of history.
True.
But if you guys have never played any of these games, seriously, go out there and give them a try. If you can emulate most of them, probably, just not the 360 ones.
And
you can emulate the 360 ones, just pain the fucking ass.
Yeah. Tell us if you have played any of these games, or if you agree that they are hidden gem games, or if you think they're total trash. And let us know what games you think are hidden gem games.
Probably some bullshit.
Probably some bullshit, but I want to hear your bullshit, because I know my shit's bullshit. So, all right. So we get into our last
hot takes.
These are our controversial takes in gaming. I guess I will start this out because this one's a fun one of mine. So games like Far Cry series get a lot of shit for being the same game over and over again, but then we shit on games like Assassin's Creed for changing the style. Far Cry is the Fast and the Furious of gaming. It is simple, it is dumb, it is entertaining, it is over the top in all the best ways, and it is one of my favorite franchises. I think we need to quit giving shit to games like Far Cry for being the same thing over and over again, because we love the same thing over and over again. And every time there's a remake or every time there's a reboot or anything, we're like, oh, why'd they change this? Oh, why'd they change that?
Well, because they always change the wrong thing, right?
I know they do.
That's the thing about those changes is they never change the thing we all want. They change the thing that was so much fucking fun about the previous one.
Yes.
God, it's so annoying.
It's totally true every time. But like, I don't know why it gets so much hate. Because it's just the same thing. Where I'm like, it is, but it's so good. The
it is, but it's not, right? Like,
yeah, like it's.
Of course, it is. It's a formula that has clearly fucking worked as far as Far Cry has been around.
Yeah, I mean, same with the Fast and Furious franchise. We know it's dumb. We know it's over the top. We know it's stupid.
I wouldn't agree with that one. I just think they just like the original Fast and the Furiouses were kind of good, and now they've just gotten over the top. I think they've changed so much to be too far over the top. You know.
I agree, but I also still love it. Like I own all of the movies. I love them all.
You do.
I will.
Of course you do.
They're amazing.
They're not.
Like, hey, I'm sometimes a basic bitch, and these are my basic bitch takes.
I remember a friend of ours. So what's his, who died? Something Walker.
Paul Walker. Yeah.
Paul Walker. So Paul Walker dies, and a friend of ours starts like just hysterically crying that day.
Yeah,
she loved Paul Walker so much, and I'm like, that's really weird that you're crying for someone you've never fucking met before.
Yeah, and then I
who
took
died
her to the
because
movie.
They were driving like an asshole.
Well, they were in the passenger seat. Yeah,
I don't give a shit where they were. Somebody in that car was driving like an asshole, and both people have the power to say stop driving like an asshole.
I agree. It's still a horrible, tragic thing.
Sure, but it's
I
funny. Because...
I don't understand like when people get way over like. But sometimes like they connect with these people on such an emotional level that it's hard
for
not
no
to
reason.
Feel these things.
For they connect not with the people, with their fake fucking characters. From
I guess
movie.
That's true. Yeah, that is like... true. It's always their characters. You don't really love Paul Walker. You love Brian.
Yeah, you have no idea what Paul Walker's favorite fucking breakfast cereal is, but apparently you're crying at his fucking funeral.
Yeah, she also cried during the movie and after the movie, and it took her like 10 minutes to get her out of the theater after the movie was done.
Oh my God, what a...
Because the See You Again song came on, and then she just... It was a lot.
Oh my God.
I was there. I comforted
emotional
her.
Support,
I was being
bitch.
The nice person.
I remember... you know, every day I drive and someone does something stupid to me, like cuts me off or like is driving on my ass. I'm like, I hope you get in a fucking car wreck and die. And I have to picture that somebody probably said that right before Paul Walker's car wreck. You know what
damn.
I mean? Like, I have to picture that because when you're driving like an asshole, I don't think there's anyone out there who doesn't say, I hope you get into a fucking car wreck and you die. You know,
he was in a parking lot, if I remember right. So
no, he hit a tree. He had a tree off of
I think they were doing like donuts and shit in a parking lot, or wasn't he doing some crazy like
no it was like
or something?
I think I remember this because they were like, it was overlooking a hilltop. So they were going down around a road because they were saying like it was like a speeds of high fucking intensity speeds, and that's why he died, because they hit the tree with such force. If you look at the car, it's like fucking destroyed.
Yeah,
so I think he was driving like an asshole. all right, I got a hot take for you.
What's yours? All right,
I fucking hate Halo. I'm just joking.
I was like, that's bullshit. That's utter bullshit.
I'd be fucked up if I just come out like, and fuck Mass Effect, and fuck, you know what I mean? I had it in my head. I don't know why I lost it now. God, I should just write my shit down. I don't know why.
I was going to say, do you need a second? I get to go another one if you want.
Yeah, do another one. Sorry, my brain, I literally had it. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll say that. And then I just completely forgot what it was.
Okay,
really,
this one's another fun one. And I know people who know me are going to hate this, especially like my brother-in-laws. They're going to hate this, but Dead or Alive is the best fighting game series of all time. And has
Shut
the best...
fuck up.
And,
it is not.
And has the best live action movie
you
by
just love,
far.
You love tits. That's all you love.
There's no tits in the movie.
I like how you have, in the movie, there's no tits.
Oh, I mean, they're famous for jiggle physics. I can't say there's no tits in the game.
Very famous for jiggle physics. Super famous for jiggle physics.
Honestly, it's not that. It's the fluidity and the speed of the fighting.
Yeah. I used to play a shit ton of Dead and Alive back in like, I want to say like, early
before Dead or Alive 4. Dead or Alive 1 through 4 by far.
I think
started
was Dead or Alive 4 like 2003, 2004?
Dead Alive 4, I think, was like closer to 2006, I think. Dead or Alive okay. 2 and 3, I think, were 2001 or 2 or 3.
Okay, so I probably played the original Dead or Alive because a buddy of mine had it, and we would go over there and play. And we were kids, you know. I'm barely like 12 or 11. I'm barely starting to get those feelings down in my pants, so... Like, for the most part, we didn't know what was, like, we just thought it was a cool fighting game, and women were in bikinis, and the dad would come out and be like, why did I buy you this game?
But, I mean, like, even, like, some of the moves in it, like, there's this character, I can't remember if it's Bass or Bass, but it's just mm-hmm. B-A-S-S, but he was this American wrestler, and, like, he does these, like, stupid-ass moves where, like, he, like, just, like, tackles you, and then while you're lying on the ground, he, like, rubs his balls in your face while flipping you off in Japanese. Oh, and I'm like, God. That's so fucking funny. It's so stupid, but it's so good. And just, like, well, and it also had a, I really loved the Ninja Gaiden series, and one of the main characters in Dead or Alive is Ryu Hayabusa, which I love his character, too. I love Ayane, who's also in the Ninja Gaiden series. Yeah. So it incorporated a lot of things that I love from other series, and just like I said, the speed of it all was just like so cool. And obviously, of course, yes, the women being attractive didn't hurt that I love the game, yeah. but it wasn't the main pull for me.
All right. I've got a pretty hot take.
Okay, give it to us.
I think games companies need to stop making fucking open world games.
Ooh, agreed.
So this is getting really fucking
not fully,
obnoxious.
But yeah,
like,
but
almost every game that comes out is this giant fucking game. You know, you're going to spend way too much time in it. You know, you're going to want to explore everything. You know, you missed the days of the level design where like each level had to matter.
Yeah.
And like now it's just like they make this open world. Half the buildings in the open world aren't accessible. So they're literally just there for fucking shits and giggles, essentially. Right. And then the buildings are their separate levels. So they don't, you go into the building, but it's like a different level. You have a loading screen in between getting in the building and getting out of the building. You know, certain games, yeah. It's awesome. I love open world concept games, but I'm tired of every game having to be that.
No, that's fair. I will say at least like for the Game Awards this last year, almost every one of the Game Award games listed, none of them were open world.
Nice.
They were all very linear, like Space Marine 2, very linear. Stellar mm-hmm. Blade, very linear.
Yep.
Black Myth Wukong, very linear. None of those are open world, and they all were nominated for a Game of the Year. I think they're all incredible games. But yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we think of Pacific Drive, which we played not too long ago, and that game's kind of like a pseudo-open world. Like, I really like the restrictiveness of that game, because you don't feel like you have to explore so fucking much. Like,
yes. Like, well, and it also gives you a level. Time limit to not explore too much. Like, you have to be worried about that. Yeah.
Yeah, which is nice. It kind of restricts the amount of time you spend in areas, because you could literally dive into an area and not leave for 6 hours.
Yeah, and that's annoying with certain things. Yeah. Yeah,
and honestly, games are just doing this now because they think everybody wants them, which I think is so fucking strange.
Honestly, I think that just came by a product of everyone being like, well, money for my value. I'm not paying $70 for a game I can finish in 7 hours. That's $10 an hour for your entertainment. That's cheaper than most anything you can do out there. Like, fuck you, and fuck all you guys for saying that shit. Like, honestly, like, if I get an incredible 7 hours that I can replay over and over again for $70, I will gladly spend that money on it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And again, I like certain open world concepts. Like, I know if I played Starfield, if I actually sat down and actually tried it, I'm sure I'd love it. There's no doubt in my mind I'd love that game. I really like Grounded. Like, I really like Minecraft. Like, those open world games are fun. They're built on something different. But when everyone is like a fucking first-person shooter game, no RPG element at all, but for some reason it's open world. Like, Halo 5, or I think Halo 5 was open world, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
Why?
Yeah, it was.
Why did that have to be open world? A game that is historically level-based now is an open world fucking concept.
Well, I mean, Suicide Squad, that was another open world game that just didn't need to be open world. Like, I get it, like the open city kind of stuff, but it's just not, like, there's,
you know, GTA makes it fun because they do so many fucking things outside the norm that these games would never do.
Mm-hmm.
True. I mean, their game has been around since what, fucking 2012?
Yeah.
2013, and it's still fucking going strong. Like, it just, again, you can't be GTA, stop trying to fucking do it.
Yeah. Well, just. again, any gaming trends, like Battle Royales, when those were a big trend, everyone made a Battle Royale game. When live service games became a trend, everyone was creating a live service game. Like, I wish the gaming industry wouldn't rely so much on trends, especially because the trends usually shift before the next set of games come out. Like, two open world games will come out and everyone will love those. And so then 10 companies will work on 10 more open world games that comes out 2 years down the road. But we're already done with open world. We're already on the next trend.
Yep.
All right. Another hot take for me. Lies of P is a top three Souls-like game.
Nope. Garbage.
Or in contention with Elden Ring and Dark Souls 3.
Nope. Garbage.
What? What? Have you even played Lies of P? Shut the fuck up.
I've never played any of them.
I know. Lies of P, it has no business being as good as it is, honestly. Like, for a Pinocchio game, no one would have ever thought a game about Pinocchio would be anywhere near as cool and as atmospheric.
I said it all along.
Awesome.
I've been saying it for 30 years.
Oh yeah, you've been saying steampunk, steampunk Dark Souls Pinocchio is going to be the future.
My exact words, actually.
Oh, good to know. I know I'm going to get a lot of shit for this. A lot of people are going to be like, "Oh, what about Sekiro?
Not like
what about Bloodborne? What about
Lies of P? Was really popular.
It is pretty popular, but a lot of people still say like it, like it's up there with a lot of the From Software games, but not a lot of people will say. So that's my controversial take, that it beats Bloodborne, it beats Sekiro, it beats a lot of these
other ones. Sure beats fucking Sekiro.
You say that to some of the Sekiro fans, man, they'll fucking stab you.
Fuck those Sekiro guys. Fuck you.
But yeah, it's not like the biggest of hot takes, but you know, it's a mild one. It's a mild one.
All right, I got one.
All right.
This is one that really fucking irks me, and it's not about games in particular, but the community around games.
Ooh, okay.
Gaming podcasts are bullshit. And I'm not talking about ours. Ours is like nice. It's fluid. Like, if you hear any other gaming podcast out there, it's always the same formula. Get this awkward ex guy. Get this awkward ex girl. Get one awkward ex third person to be kind of awkward ex in the fucking middle. And then put them all in an awkward studio. Like, that's all it fucking is. Have these people be their awkward selves and for some reason get fucking views and listens. That shit drives me crazy. I listen to it. I'm like, you're not fucking funny. And then they're like, I tried to talk to a girl and I couldn't. And it's like, they think that's a fucking joke. And I'm like, that's not fucking funny. You're not fucking funny. You're not even entertaining. You're not saying anything. Like it's nerds who have a following at something else they do. Like, that's clearly what it is.
Yeah.
And that's all they do. And I'm going to expand it. I'll say, like, I hate celebrity podcasts too, because I feel like everyone's just doing it because they have name recognition.
Yeah. That became way too, and it's really annoying, because it's like, you're already celebrities. We already fucking watch everything you do and all this other shit. Yep. And then you got to come in and take over all podcasts. So no one who's a celebrity can even become famous anymore.
Yep.
It's so hard. It's so frustrating. It's annoying.
When it makes gaming podcasts annoying, because again, ours is like outside the realm of anything that these fucking people do. They all just basically talk awkwardly and make shitty fucking sexual jokes, which we do, but like, we do it in a way that's at least a little funny, at least a little brash, at least a little in your fucking face. And these people are out there just like, I'm so awkward and I'm a girl, look at me. And I'm just like, okay, you're doing what's the fucking the Hall and Oates, Garfunkel and Oates, I think it's called, the two girls, that girl who acts like the awkward girl. That's what they're doing. They're being her.
Yeah.
Like, that's all they're fucking doing. And I don't know. I'm over it. I'm over the whole gaming podcast bullshit. It's bullshit. If you listen to any gaming podcast, it's the same formula. We're the only ones breaking out of that formula, because I'm not going to fucking do that shit.
We're not going to pander to the audiences the way everyone else has to pander. And that's the thing that's the hardest thing about social media anymore nowadays, is how much you have to be like, come here, watch me, I'm so interactive,
I'm doing literally what everyone else is doing.
Do I need to put a bar on the screen that says leave a comment here for you to leave a comment? I do, because you're all stupid.
No, yeah, it's so stupid. And I hate it too, because the social media thing, if you guys ever watch those videos, because they happen all the time. It's like, hey, can I ask you a question? And then they ask the question, and it's always a fucking like, would you rate my outfit? Would you rate my face? Would you date me? And it's like they always pick like the weirdest fucking things, and they're always fucking stupid. And mm-hmm. I watched a video that was like, in the reality of it, like you're supposed to feel bad for them as people they're asking, they're bothering people on the fucking street. Like, hey, can I ask you a question? And people are like, no, fuck off. And that's who I would be, like 100%. Like, no, fuck off. Get away from me. I don't fucking know you. I don't have to answer your fucking question.
Yeah.
I just hate
this. If you do answer their question, you can become the next Haktua girl.
Yeah, wonderful. Fuck those people. God, fucking bullshit. Fame for no reason.
That's the kind of bullshit I get mad about. Someone makes a funny comment one time and can create an entire lifestyle based off of it.
I'll give the Haktua girl this. She donates a shit ton of her money to animal shelters.
I'm not saying that she doesn't do great things with her money. I'm not saying that she's a good or a bad person. I'm just saying the funniest thing of just like, she was drunk and said something stupid one night and became so famous because of that one thing that she started a podcast, an entire clothing line, what the fuck?
Featured on a bunch of shit. Like, she's not even...
I will say that the name of her podcast is hilarious. Haktua.
Haktua?
Yeah, instead of Haktua, because you got to talk
to her. Yeah. Haktua. That's actually good. That's good.
It's really fucking funny. Like, it's I like it. She leaned heavily on it. I mean, I get why, because obviously if I said something that famous, I would too. But
yeah. I'm tired of the fucking gaming podcast world, man. I try to listen to them and then I'm just like, okay, well, this is just fucking bullshit. You guys are talking about literally nothing and just being awkward. So way to go. Okay. You win. You get 30 million views for that.
That's funny. I've got another. This is another probably bigger hot take. Games that are too realistic are boring as fucking shit.
I agree. And it just depends on the realism. You know what's funny?
It does.
I'll play the trading card simulator and I won't mind sitting at the cash register taking people's orders.
Yes.
I will not mind.
Yeah.
Like, it depends on your mood for the realism, because if the realism is engrossed in something you'd actually want to do, like, it can be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there's even not a lot of realism to a trading card simulator. Like, it's kind of real orients, but like,
it's just,
you don't have
just
to actually
that
spend
one
money.
Aspect.
You don't have to worry about like people coming into your shop. You don't have to worry about marketing or advertising. You don't have to worry about a lot of, it's just the singular aspects inside the shop.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so The game that brought this to my attention for me was Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
I didn't really play Red Dead Redemption 1.
I love Red Dead Redemption 1.
I really want to go back
and
play
fucking
it.
Game. Oh, you'd love it, dude.
Incredible.
It's
but
so fucking good.
I tried playing Red Dead Redemption 2. It's so slow to do any goddamn thing in that game. The fast travel in the game is abysmal, barely exist.
Yeah.
And it just... to travel anywhere on horseback on a 22 square mile map is so ridiculously slow. Like, if I have an hour to play and it takes me 45 minutes to get to where I need to on the fucking map, that's annoying. It's boring. I don't want to deal with that. Like,
well, imagine like Spider-Man, where you had to walk like from one end of New York, from Long Island to the other end, and how long that would fucking take. Nobody wants to do that shit, right?
Well, in the Spider-Man game, you can get across the map in like 4 seconds.
Exactly. Well, and I think it's not
if you had to
size.
Walk,
you yeah, it's yeah. not the size, right? It's not actually the size of New York.
Exactly.
They shorten it a little bit, or they, because that's, you know, they know that people don't want to fucking spend all that time traveling, because traveling is boring as shit.
I mean, that was like the, as much as I love GTA 5, the size of the map, going from one end of the map to the other end was,
remember,
so
the difference
huge.
Is they give you a bunch of cool vehicles,
yes,
so now you can like travel in different ways and you feel like you're having fun. At least when you're on a fucking horse, that is not fun.
Exactly. No, and that's the part of the problem for me. It's just like a lot of these games that are just too engrossed in trying to make this real thing feel as real as possible. Like, there is some cool aspects to it, don't get me wrong, but it's just not for me, and I just think they're too boring.
I agree. I'm with you on that one.
All right. What do you got? Or do you have any more?
I think that's all my hot takes for now. Okay. I don't have too many like controversial ones. So go for it. What's your last one?
So this one is based off of the death battle that just came out today. February 2nd, for those wondering. It was Azura
still alive?
Versus Kratos. Barely. They're
because I was going to say Rooster Teeth got shut down and they were owned by Rooster Teeth.
Yeah. They're still fighting to keep alive. So they did Azura from Azura's Wrath versus Kratos from God of War.
Yeah.
This is something I've argued religiously about on the internet.
I think Azura would win, wouldn't
several
he?
People. What?
Wouldn't Azura win?
That's my take. So
because he literally like had planets thrown at him and he dodged them.
Here's the thing that I get mad about with Death Battle. I love Death Battle. Don't get me wrong. Great company. They do some really awesome videos.
They're
really
fun.
Cool
I've
shit.
Met the guys. They're so fucking cool.
They're awesome. Like, don't get me wrong. I love you guys so much, but I hate these takes in games. So the reason Kratos wins because on screen feats, Azura mops the floor with Kratos.
Yeah.
But here is what the arguments that I get from everybody every time I bring up Azura beating Kratos. But he defeated this guy that defeated this guy, so which means he's that fast. If this guy was that fast and he defeated him, that means he's faster than both of them. Or he fought Atlas, which was a titan that was holding up the universe, and he had to hold it up for like a day. And he did hold it with one hand for one segment. So that means he can hold the universe. And I'm like, okay, yeah,
well,
but he's
like,
for like.
But they're thinking very, because remember the universe when that mythology was made was very much smaller than what we imagine it to be now.
Yeah, but now they're saying because in Ragnarok, that an attack shook the world tree, that he survived, that because the world tree is connected to all universes,
yeah,
he's able to withstand something that's 9 billion times the amount of force needed to destroy the entirety of all universes. And I'm like, oh god, no, fuck off. Like, it's so frustrating.
It's so,
that
it's
your
so limited
because
it's the
feats.
World tree rather than what is.
Yes, it's nothing right? about what Kratos can do. It's nothing like we've seen Kratos do. We've never seen Kratos move at those speeds. We've never seen Kratos fight with those levels of feats. We've never seen Kratos punch a mountain and destroy it. We've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, we've
so
seen
I'm
him
like,
kill people who can do those things, but you know those.
That
you don't
make
know
him,
the situation behind
yes.
it, right?
Like Jin was kind of like she's like kind of like laughing at me, and she's like, "But I mean, like, it kind of means that in some way." I'm like, "No, like if I if Usain Bolt,
like,
who's the fastest guy in the world, runs at like 29 miles an hour, if I shoot him in the fucking face, that does not mean that I can run 30 miles an hour."
No. And you think about the same thing with the Flash, right? If a stray yeah. bullet kills the Flash, did the person who killed the Flash run just as fast in order to beat him?
Or
was a
the
stray
bullet faster than him? No.
Or no. It's
yeah.
like literally
yeah,
just luck, right? Luck of yeah. the draw. And they don't take into account luck of the draw because they just think, okay, well, strength equals strength. So strength, if this person's stronger, their strength equals greater than their strength. So
I think with anything like Death Battle or any of those things, there should be only on screen or on, like, I don't care yep. if it's necessarily on screen. I don't, like, if there's a book that says it specifically, you can use it. If it's a comic that says it, like in the Sonic comics.
I'm gonna write the guys who created Kratos and say, hey, can you print out that he could beat Azura?
Sure, I will believe it then.
And then I'll show you the then. Book and you'll be like, fuck you, Scott.
But I wish that was only about on-screen feats and not features
yeah,
of people that he's defeated.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of the time it's like, it will be that. It'll be like, well, this guy beat the Flash, so clearly he can run from one end of the universe to the other in less than 12 minutes. So
yeah.
It's like, no, that's not fucking what that means. Fuck you.
Well, like, that was the argument for...
Didn't Boomerang like, beat the Flash at one point?
Yeah, he did. So, like, the speed argument was... that Azura like could dodge planets and universes being thrown at him, which is insanely how
yeah.
fast he needs to be for that.
Yeah, the kinetic
but then, like,
speed would be insane.
Kratos defeated Heliod or Helios or whatever, who is the fastest.
Rumored.
Yeah, who is the fastest god ever to live. And so I'm like, so he defeated the fastest god, but he wasn't faster than the god fucking damn it. No, you can't say he's faster.
I just love the, because fucking Azura also lifted that giant fucking guy who was literally bigger than the planet.
Yes.
And threw him.
And even the Titans were never planetary scale or universe nope. scale.
It doesn't
they
matter.
They were fit
just,
on Earth. They were
yeah,
never.
It's, the problem is the level of detail in that game. So the level of detail in Asura's Wrath is so much greater
yes.
than the level of detail in any of the God of War games. Like,
well,
it's
and the other thing was too.
Is.
And the only reason I also think that he won was because God of War has 10 games. Azura's Wrath has one.
Yeah.
They used every weapon from all 10 of the games, and several of those weapons can have like god-draining weapons.
But Azura's like, not really a god.
I know, but they're saying that Mantra is basically the same thing as the energy he's draining from gods. And I'm like, God, no, you can't just say it's, you can't just yada yada, it's the same. Which is annoying because, like, when they did a Deku from My Hero against Asta from Black Clover,
yeah,
his anti-magic didn't work against quirks because they're like, quirks are actually a biological thing. They're not magic. Yeah. So he can't cancel out his stuff because it's not magic. But he does have a sword that he can cut whatever he wants. So that sword could cut through his quirks, but not his anti-magic swords. And I'm like, that makes sense. You did a lot of thought for that. But then they do the exact opposite for Kratos versus Azura. And I'm like, no, fuck you.
Fuck you.
And then, and just to spite us, they threw an alternate ending at the end of the video where they have Azura win. And they make it a fucking quick time event button mashing thing. And I'm like, oh, fuck off.
Just, I mean, it's true, though.
I know, but like...
That's exactly how you'd win in the stupid Azura's Wrath, so...
But it was just like one punch. It was just like, it was so dumb after all that giant fight. And I'm like, no.
Well, it's like when they did fucking Popeye the Sailor Man versus One Punch Man.
Mm.
And it's just like, well, yeah, you picked a guy who literally does not have limitations in Popeye because he's... literally a cartoon fucking character who has never had to bleed or die before.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a fair comparison to make, but...
Oh, yeah. Sometimes their battles are really unfair. Like, a lot of the Dragon Ball Z fights are typically really unfair.
They either are one way or the other, like Goku versus Superman. Super unfair towards Superman. But then when they bring something in new for Goku, they're like, well, still, Superman can do this. I'm like, okay, well...
Yeah.
Goku's
had that fight, I think, three times now.
Yeah, but like, and Superman's won every single one.
The one that I remember that was the biggest gap was Master Roshi versus Master Jiraiya.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this would be a fun one. And I'm like, oh, nope, Dragon Ball scaling is way too ridiculous. Master Roshi is mopped the floors. Well, and it's stupid
because Master Roshi, he just recently got a huge power bump. Like, very fucking recently. Like, he did not used to be... They read their power levels. He has not done any training. He has not done anything extra. At the time, he was a little bit weaker than Krillin was. And this is before Goku hit 9,000, by the way.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Or, sorry, just after Goku hit 9,000. When he fought Frieza, his power level was over a million.
Yeah.
Okay, so in between 9,000 and a million, somehow Master Roshi went from 250 all the way up to able to beat people who can literally use, like, god shit.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. But I'm like, there's some of those things with power scaling. I'm like, put them in the same league as each other. Like, I get, you're like, oh, one pervy master versus another pervy master. Like, yeah, I get it. It's funny, but they're not in the same power scaling at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
No. But yeah. All right. That was it. That was Hot Takes. Yep. Hot Takes part two.
Yeah. So yeah, tell us what your hot takes are if you have any.
Yeah, tell us if
takes.
You like other gaming podcasts out there that are fucking what I just said they are.
Tell us if there's any good ones. I'll let you know.
Yeah. I'll let you know if it's fucking good or not. That's what it is. All right, guys. We'll catch you on the next episode next week. Bye.
Yeah, which is going to be a hat in time.
No, I said bye already. We bye
okay,
now.
Okay, fine. I love you. Bye.
Bye.